the woman be learning in quietness. That's a good thing. Yeah, no, it is a good thing. It's not the quietness of,
shut up, woman.
Now, you see that on television shows and on movies. Of course, now the stereotype is being reversed. That's right, we're having reverse prejudice now. Yeah, it's all being, now the men are the ones looking stupid. Before, it was the women, but now, you know, the societal pendulum swings, and now we're way out here where the men are the stupid ones, and the women are the heroes, and all the jokes are about the men, not about the women anymore. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Why can't we settle the pendulum right in the middle? Or, as I would like to do, put it a little bit in favor of the women, because I think they're the superior sex. You know, Paul does say, let's read this. We're going to talk about quietness being the ideal. It's not the quietness of shut up, but the quietness of have a mild and quiet spirit, which is actually a profound gift. It's actually wonderful to be able to be quiet. Going to prove this to you. This is from 1 Timothy 2:1-4. I'm entreating then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, pleadings, thanksgiving be made for all mankind, for kings. It's actually all humankind there. You know, A. Enoch has been accused by certain personages of being sexist, because instead of humankind, which it is in the Greek text, he puts mankind, where the superscript HU is actually present in the text. I say, if it's present, why not just make it humankind? So anyway, I'm going to make that correction on the fly for you here today on the Martin Zender Show, because that's what I do. So thanksgiving be made for all humankind, for kings, and all those being in a superior station. Well, it'd probably be queens too, right? I bet Nock didn't put that in there. So I'm going to put it in there. Kings and queens, all those being in a superior station, that we may be leading a mild and quiet life in all devoutness and gravity. For this is ideal and welcome in the sight of our Savior God. It is ideal. So Paul wants the women to be quiet. He wants them to be hushed. And this is actually the best thing. Let me ask you this. Did Paul live a mild and quiet life? No, hardly. Any teacher in this administration of grace, which is an administration of a hellhole of apostasy, is unlikely to live either mildly or quietly. I don't live a mild and quiet life. It's a vast struggle against religious hypocrisy. It's a vast struggle against Satan and against the powers of darkness. Darkness covers the people today, and they're heaping up teachers in accord with their own desires. I'm fighting that stuff. Anyway, it's still a vast struggle, Paul says, and I can vouch for that. So thus, the teacher does not lead the ideal life. And this is the whole mistake of this whole passage and these two passages about women, is that teaching is the ideal life. And again, this is the one reason James says, important verse here, James 3:1, not many should become teachers, my brethren, being aware that we shall be getting greater judgment. So not only is the teacher under satanic fire, but at the dais, the teacher is going to be under greater judgment. The teacher is given greater light, greater responsibility. Whoever's been given much is expected of that person. So there's more expected of me than somebody who's not in a position of teaching. So I got to be careful. And, you know, it's the same principle. I realize this in Israel, because they had the greater light, they're more accountable to God for what they do with that light. If you don't have light, how can you be held accountable? I have a lot of light. I'm one of the smartest people I know. That's a crazy burden of mine, see? So I have to be careful, and I'm going to be stricter judgment. But I don't come under judgment. That's James 3:1. But the principle is the same, is that I'm going to be held accountable. We're not responsible for our actions, ladies and gentlemen, but we are accountable for them at the dais of Christ. The weatherman is not responsible for the weather, but he's accountable for it. He must give an account to us why this cold front came down from Canada and ruined the church picnic. You know, well, it happened because, well, you know, see this warm pressure, high pressure cell that was supposed to be over Lake Superior blew over to Quebec, and there you have it. Sorry about your picnic. So he's accountable, not responsible. But anyway, it's welcome. Look, read the 1 Timothy 2:1-4. Welcome in the sight of our Savior God to lead a mild and quiet life. So a teacher puts his neck on the line, not only in this life, but in the next life, if you want to be truthful about it. Now, Women, as I have been telling you, and as I am writing in books that will soon be published, are our better selves. Adam 2.0, woman is. Improved version. So it's our duty, men, to keep them from struggle, to keep them from harm, keep them from getting hurt, because they're too precious to be exposed. They're too precious to be challenged by some of the people that challenge me. They're too precious to be shot at, stoned, tortured, shipwrecked, raped. No. So why not protect males from this? Because here's the thing. Look, this is going to shock you. Why not protect males from being shipwrecked, tortured, stoned, challenged, all this? Because Adam was first molded, thereafter Eve. That's the quote from Paul. Can't remember the verse right now. That's okay. Now look, this is the exact opposite of what we're taught, because Adam was first molded, thereafter Eve. So Eve coming later then must be lesser. She's expendable. No, woman is man's glory. She's the glory of the man. Christ came after God, but Christ is called God's glory. Any civilization worthy the name protects its women and children from armed conflict. All right, here's a parallel verse from Peter, 1 Peter 3:4. He wishes for women. We talked about this verse when we talked about the clothing of women, the adornment of women. He says this, a meek and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is costly. A meek and quiet spirit, which is costly. It's costly to be quiet. So women, I want women to be quiet in the ecclesia. Oh, that's costly. Wow, you want them to be quiet? That's more valuable than being raucous. So we don't want them being raucous in the ecclesia because it doesn't become them. It's actually beneath them. It's not above them. Teaching isn't above women. It's beneath women. Go back to Ronald Reagan's quote, equal rights will only demean women. It's beneath them to be equal to men. Why would you want to be equal to men? You want to be in the rat race with us? Well, you did it, and it's part of the destruction of the fabric of society. You had it good, women. You had it good. It's not that you have to prove it to yourself. You have to prove it to us. We already knew it. All right? You're in there proving it. It's like the newsletter that I just wrote. Folks, if you hadn't read part 5 of the Roman series, I send it out on Sunday. If you don't have it, go to my homepage and subscribe. When you're out posing and posturing and trying to be the best, it only proves that you're not the best. At least you don't think you're the best if you're struggling, trying, clawing, scratching, trying to get to the top. If you just realize you are at the top, then you can sit like a queen and be served. And be served. That's what men really want to do. Deep down, we want to serve you. We want to be your providers. We want to slay the dragons for you. We really do deep down. I know men have been vanquished along this line. They've been so discouraged because women are competing in the marketplace and they don't need men anymore. Women think they don't need men anymore. Like Gloria Steinem famously said, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Well, how's that working out for you? I mean, honestly. And then what does she do? She goes out and gets married. Or she has male friends. So, yeah, you need us for something, right? At least to take out the garbage. Come on. No, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, why shouldn't I do it right? Some women don't need men sexually. Yeah, they have these they have these sex toys, you know, vibrators and things like that, artificial means to stimulate themselves. And I guess that works for some women. I mean, at least the vibrator doesn't refuse to, you know, put the toilet seat down or take out the trash. It doesn't argue with you. Well, likewise, I guess for men, they have blow-up dolls, right? And the blow-up doll never argues with you. But is this what it's come to with the sexes? Honestly now, is this what it's come to? We need each other. There's this vast gulf of misunderstanding between the sexes, and I aim to bridge it, to heal it in my books, and I do. And this stuff's already written, but it's going to be coming out publication-wise soon in print. God has delayed this. It's been divine intervention, divine providence from keeping this out. But now I think the time has come finally. Anyway, man's the expendable one. And Peter verifies this, that quietness is ideal. Is ideal. Now, 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. A slave of the Lord must not be fighting, but be gentle toward all, apt to teach, bearing with evil, with meekness, training those who are antagonizing. This is a slave of the Lord. I believe this is speaking to the teacher. seeing whether God may be giving them repentance to come into a realization of the truth, and they will be sobering out of the trap of the adversary, having been caught alive by him for that one's will. People in darkness, in theological darkness, in theological darkness, mind you, these people have been caught alive by Satan, and Satan is guarding them. If we had eyes to see, like Elijah saw the armies of the Lord surrounding the enemy, we would see a ring of satanic servants surrounding every church, every so-called house of God, because that is where the darkness is. That's where the lies are being told. And that's where the teacher goes. And the teacher is essentially attacking, staging an offensive against Satan's stronghold. Are we going to cast the fair sex into the arena of evil to wrestle Satan? Is that what we want to do? I don't think so. Instead, we're supposed to protect women, cherish them, give them the gift, bestow upon them peace and quiet. Why? So that they can lead the ideal life, which according to Peter is costly. Who's it costly to? Men. It should be costly to you. So, I want you to fight on behalf of these women and die for them if necessary. Again, like Priscilla, women can teach privately, on the side, peacefully. So there's Apollos, doesn't quite get the baptism of Paul, got the baptism of John. So they take him to a beer joint, to a bar. They sit down with him, and in the quietness of his home or at the bar or whatever, they explain it to him privately. They took him aside. This wasn't public discourse, because Satan has a ring around the church, the organization. Take it on the side. You can talk to the guy. Priscilla has some great things to say, and all women have great things to say. So the women elucidate people to the riches of Christ's grace, one-on-one, to people primed by God to receive the wisdom of the woman. Again, a woman is not an ice breaker. She's not supposed to be breaking down the walls of unbelief. So let's not ask him to do it, nor allow him to face the antagonism that accompanies public discourse. To do either thing would be to expose our glory to Satan. And I'm not being melodramatic here. I'm serious, because the religious world is infested with teachings of demons, 1 Timothy 4:1. All right. I may need to tie up loose ends tomorrow. Don't know. If not, we'll move on to Hebrews. This has been Martin Zender. Heed my words.